Okay, let's try again. Perek Vav. We are up to. We are up to Pasuk Yud Beis. We discussed Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayashu Mordechai Hashem Melech al Shar Hamelech v'Haman et Chaf El Beiso Ovel v'Chafui Roish. Okay, so let's, before we even see the Rashi and the Targum, let's, I want to mention a, we mentioned last week the Midrashim, that the Targum alludes to this, is that the daughter of, does not say this anywhere in the Megillah, but we know we have a tradition, we have a Masur, we have a Targum, Midrashim, and the daughter of Haman was standing and observing the parade, observing one man lead another. One man was on the horse, one was leading, and it's calling out, Kocho ye'osel ish, asher ha'melech ha'feitz pikaro. Now, we discussed last week, why did the daughter of Haman assume that it was Mordechai guiding the person on the horse, and the person on the horse that she assumed was her father was Haman. So I came across something very interesting yesterday, and it's there are two different mahalchim, they both work very well together. That when Achashverosh said that Yishamaher kaches halavush v'yasasus, take the horse and the levush, kasher dibart v'aseichin l'mordechai ha'yudi yoshev sh'amelech, so the clothing was of course special clothing. We learned in the Targum that it was the clothing which the king wore on the day that he was inaugurated, the day he was coronated. But not everyone agrees it was specifically that clothing, and according to this medrash, this obscure medrash that I saw, the clothing that Haman himself was wearing qualified as a fulfillment of the royal garments. So, and the clothing that Haman wore, everyone knew this was what Haman looked like. Haman wore his special garments all the time. So basically, Haman gave Mordechai his own clothing. So therefore, it was very simple when the daughter of Haman saw this person in the street on a horse. He was wearing distinct clothing that her father wore all the time. So she assumed, as a Dava Pasha, the person on the horse is her father. Yeah.
Because we learned earlier that this Lavush had a tzlav in the front and in the back.
Maybe there were different, okay, it's problematic, possibly. Yeah, okay. Unless in addition. No, it's not likely Mordechai would accept. It's not likely. So maybe he wore something on top of it. He wore a tzelim, whatever. He wore something on top of it. Okay, so therefore that explains why the daughter of Haman assumed it was her father. Now, even to make this go a step further, there's another source, they cite here in Sarasim Medinois, that says that when Haman took off his clothing, Mordechai took off his clothing to put on the fancy, Haman was a rough. He was the Rosh HaSanhedrin. He wore a distinct garb. He wore probably whatever the Rosh HaSanhedrin wore, which included a special hat. There was a special hat which the Rosh HaSanhedrin wore. And when he took off his hat and garment, Mordechai said to Haman, what's going to be with my clothing? Who's going to watch it in the meantime? Who's going to watch my clothing? It's going to get stolen. And the Medrash says that Haman had no choice, since there was such a the time was short, and he was pressed to parade Mordechai in the street before the time of the party arrives. Haman had no choice but to get dressed up in Mordechai's clothing. What? You're right. I don't know the answer. So maybe it was the sackcloth. Maybe in fact the clothing that he put on and whatever it was. But it seems that this is what it says, that the clothing that Haman wore in order to save time, he had no choice but to put on at least some of the clothing of Mordechai. So it comes out that to an observer, someone who is standing in the top of a building or on a balcony and he looks down, what do you see? You see a person riding on a horse wearing the distinct clothing that was known to be the clothing of Haman. And the person guiding the horse is wearing the hat, is wearing a black, big black hat, wearing a strimel, or whatever Mordechai wore. He was wearing the clothing of Mordechai. So what would the common man assume? Especially everyone knew that the Jews at this point in time were not very, were not held in very high regard. Who would you think was leading who? to an observer who just sees the clothing, you know, fits very well into the theme of how we're in costumes on Purim. Ad lo yada chayev adam levasume bipuraya ad lo yada ben aru hamanu baruch Mordechai. And at kedei kach, according to these midrashim, the combination of these two midrashim, it comes out that it was Haman wearing the clothing of Mordechai, and it was Mordechai wearing the clothing of Haman. And that is why it was an obvious mistake for the daughter of Haman to throw the chamber pot. So you have the clothing, you know, this is the theme of clothing, of costumes, the popular theme of Minhag to wear costumes on Purim. It seems to some degree to come from this. Let me see if I can tell you the sources for these midrashim. It's a very, very, very interesting thing here to say, such a chiddush. In royal, so we didn't, like we mentioned, we learned in the Medrash, the Targum said that more Haman asked the king Achashverosh that this person should be dressed in the same clothing that the king wore on the day of his coronation. And seemingly this interpretation does not fit well, because that must have been special clothing that was locked up somewhere in the chambers. But according to this approach, no, that was not the request. The request was he should wear clothing from one of the chashuvim. So there was no time now to go to take Mordechai to a tailor and to have them make special royal garments, purple and tcheles. In the meantime, Haman took off his clothing. The clothing fit. He took off the clothing and he gave it to Mordechai. Mordechai said, "Who's going to watch my hat? You know how much it costs to buy a Borsellino hat today? The kollel check doesn't pay for the Borsellino hat."
Did he check the shatnez
on the hat?
Yeah. No,
on the clothing. I don't know. I don't know. So Mordechai, okay, I'll wear the hat. I'll wear your hat. And what happened to that? What happened to that hat?
It's an interesting Shiloh.
That hat is no longer around. That hat.
It's an interesting Shiloh. There was no fear of shatness. Interesting.
I don't know the answer. Maybe, you know, there's a lumpness. If you're not wearing the clothing to keep warm, a model, is a model allowed to wear clothing shatness? They have live models today. They do have today still live people. They are
live models.
Live mannequins.
Well, they have fashion shows, right? So do you have to check your clothing? The people who wear the clothing, they don't have to check it. You don't have to check the clothing. You're not wearing it to keep warm. You're wearing it to demonstrate. So it could be shyness is not a problem because he's not wearing the clothing to keep
that's
warm. Shulchan Aruch says that. Yeah, you know, it's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah. Mishnah. I don't remember where it is. What?
Back in Shulah, it's not.
Yeah, you just
find
the Shulah.
If you're wearing it for clothing, it's not chayv in shyness. In tzitzis. It's not chayv in tzitzis, but I think it's chayv in shatnez. A beged shu'ula is chayv in shatnez.
It says before I wear it.
No, I think it means a beged shu'ula is not chayv in tzitzis. But a beged shu'ula is chayv in shatnez. You have that with a tuxedo. People who rent tuxedos.
These fashion shows, they're just trying it on and taking it off.
Exactly. So if you're just wearing the clothing in order to demonstrate, to show the clothing, so it's not necessarily a prohibition of shatnez. Okay, but it's very interesting here. We have here two different sources. One source says that it was Haman that wore the clothing of Mordechai, and others says that it was Mordechai who wore the clothing of Haman. If you take these two together, it's Venahapichu. They were going through the streets dressed in each other's clothing, and that's why she made the obvious mistake. Another idea I saw in a few places, an interesting idea, is that why all of a sudden did she have available a chamber pot? Now, the average person on the balcony, when you're sitting on the balcony, looking down, you see something that's going on, ticker tape parade. You don't have available to you. You know, she had to make a split second decision. She had on the spot decide.
She doesn't say it. It's
she just has a chamber pot available to her to go throw on the head of the person who she thinks is Mordechai. So the answer is this goes back to a medrash. It goes back to a targum in the previous parak, or maybe two parakim before. The targum said explicitly that Haman, one the reason why he wanted to remove Vashti was because Haman felt that his daughter would make a better queen than Vashti. So he convinced Ahasuerus to execute Vashti. He then began this plan of gathering all of the Nashim in Shushan and throughout the world, and who would of course be the one that would be first online? Haman's own daughter. She must, in his eyes, must have been the most beautiful woman in the world, and he felt he convinced all the Haggai and all of the people to push her into the front to make sure that she is a finalist to become queen. The Targum says that when she was about to go, her stomach gave way. She was stricken with a chilei me'ayna. You have to remember, this was 5 years ago. Okay, this is a long case, a chronic case of diarrhea. This is, it says that 5 years ago, but if someone wants to suggest that it's not so far-fetched to say that she at that time was stricken with this chilei me'ayma, stomach disease, which was continuous, which was chronic, which went on until 5 years later. So she always had at her side a chamber pot. And therefore, that's why it takes away the surprise. And we're brainwashed from children. We all know the story. She took a chamber pot and she threw it on the head of Mordechai. Think about it. In modern times, if you're on a balcony and you're watching something, you're not going to go into the Beis HaKisei to take out a chamber pot to go through. It's not, you know. And are we trying to say that in ancient times they had chamber pots right in front of them? Adarab, in ancient times, it appears from Chazal, they were much healthier. And the Beis HaKisei, they didn't have modern plumbing. So they didn't have indoor plumbing.
He was a very wealthy man.
Haman was the most wealthy man. So we don't know exactly. You know, with just this all speculation, but it is a little bit bizarre. It is a little bit bizarre that she should have available to her on a balcony, and on a balcony she should have available to her this thing at that moment in time. Okay, so you say everything in the Megillah, everything is all derech hashkoch hapratis and ace, but when you combine this with the previous medrash and say that this was her condition, she had a chronic condition, it's then things put, the dots connect. It's not such a question that this indeed was, that this is the way it was. Okay, let's see the Rashi and the Targum and Pasid Yud Beis. Let's review it because we really did the Rashi, which we review very quickly. He returned to fasting and to his sackcloth. Rabbi Seinu, Perishu Adar B'Sech Megillah. We explain Avel on his daughter. His daughter commits suicide. He was instead of mourning the Chafui Roish, and he was embarrassed because of the filth that he was covered in from his daughter. We discussed last week the order. We'll leave that for now. Let's see the Targum. We didn't do the Targum yet. V'sav Mordechai l'Sanhedrin d'Bistra Palatin d'Malkus. Mordechai returned to the Sanhedrin that was in the gate of the palace. V'yashlach yos levush ar givono me'alohi. He took off the royal garments, the purple garments that he was wearing. U'levash sakah. And he put on sackcloth. V'sav and he sat al kitma. He sat down upon ash. V'havo moideh, he gave thanks. Now that's a new word. I don't think we had that word in this davening. The Targum very often mentions that he was mispalable. Here it says moideh, he gave thanks. It seems he gave thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this that has happened to him. U'matzlei, and he prayed. Now here's a key word, ad ramsha, until the night, till the evening. He continued to fast. Now remember, this was early in the morning. Because this event took place, Esther went to Achashverosh, could not sleep in the middle of the night. Haman went to Achashverosh in the middle of the night. Chatzos Laila. Who is in the car? Who is at the gate? Haman, come in. I want you to go get Mordechai. So everything that happened over here took place 6 o'clock in the morning. He was paraded for the Good Morning America. Okay, he was on the Good Morning America show early in the morning. What?
And today,
whatever all the other shows are, keep up with this. On all of these, he was there for the early morning. So now it's already. Now this is Pesach time. Okay, so it's already spring. So Chatzos is 6-7 o'clock. Daylight savings, not daylight savings. I don't know what it was, but it's a long day yet to go. And yet Mordechai continued to fast the entire. We mentioned last week, Ron, that we didn't cut this break his fast early. Umatzli ad Ramsha period. Okay. Also, one other thing I want to mention: the word Moideh. I saw a little more research, but indeed it appears to be a machlekes achroinim if when this decree, when Mordechai was paraded through the street, did that automatically mean that Haman was spared from the gezerah that would be revealed? The fact that Mordechai was now paraded through the street on a royal, on a horse and royal garments, and they called out before him, that according to, I think, the Yaris Tavash, he says it's Pashat Ad Ma'od, that Mordechai was no longer subject to the Gezerah. He's no longer subject to the Gezerah. He's certainly Nichlal in making Birchas HaGoymel. No?
Look, we have a flip-flopping king. And, you know, what have you done for me lately down the road?
Okay, all right, possibly, but it's something you can't ignore, that a person was such a thing was unprecedented for a person, a citizen, to be paraded in the street with royal clothing, the same clothing the king wore on the royal horse. It's not so simple.
What?
Not guaranteed. Okay, but there's some say that he was already, that's it, it's partially, he's not going to be killed anymore, and therefore that would obviously obligate him in reciting Birchas HaGoymel. Not necessarily so, Birchas HaGoymel. Birchas HaGoymel is a very complex halacha. The person, Rachman Litzlan, was a near, let's say Rachman Litzlan, in a near, almost car driving, near death, but it never happened. It never came to be. Okay, you missed a tractor trailer, turned right in front of the car, but it is within a hair's breadth. But there was no contact. There's no contact. Does the person slams on the brakes, and Baruch Hashem, nothing happened. Does he make Baruch HaGoymel? Pashas is not. Pashas is not. If there's an impact, even a very small impact, then already you make Birchas HaGoymel. Just you save by the skin of your teeth. You save by the skin of your teeth. That is not, if I'm not mistaken, that usually is not enough to qualify to recite a Birchas HaGoymel. However, it goes without saying that a person should give Shevach V'Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person should give a nice donation to Tzedakah, to HaKadosh, as a recognition that, you know, I saw my life hang before me. I saw my life hanging before me, and Baruch Hashem, I came out. Nothing happened, with not even a scratch. But I'm still shaken up. What happened? You don't necessarily make Birchas HaGoymel, but you still have to give Shevach V'Hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and certainly that would fit very well into what it says here in the Pasuk, V'Hava Moideh. What is he giving thanks for? That he was paraded through the street? That's a little weak. Because Mordechai really obviously couldn't care less that he received this honor. And the word Moideh has to have something of more substance. If you want to learn like the Yaris Tavash and others who go in his lead and suggest that things changed, the rules changed for Mordechai. Mordechai is now no longer subject to the decree Lahashmid Laharbides Kola Yehudim. And now he's, like we mentioned, Ein Chavash Mater Atzim and Beis Hasum. This was a very great advantage. This is a necessity in the bring of the miracle, that you need a person on the outside to save the people on the inside. If Mordechai was also on the inside, his tefillos and his shtadlos was not as potent as a person who is working to save you from the outside. Now that Mordechai is no longer part of the gezerah, it's a different type of a shtadlos. So here it fits very well why it says moideh. It's not just, I got covered today. What's COVID going to do for you? He won't even go get, like he can't get on the subway for the COVID. It's not going to make a difference. But the COVID, at least this event, at least saved his life in the future. Therefore, it's kedai to be moideh. Let's go further. The Haman is bahal, and Haman was quickly whisked away. V'avel, he was, Isbahel means he was, instead of bewilderment, his mind was dull, he was instead of bewilderment. V'ozal, they say, he went to his home, Ovel al Birate. Okay, as we mentioned, he was in mourning over the loss of his daughter. Now here is something which is very interesting. This is not what we said, not what it appears from the Gemara, and this is a different mahalach, it appears. Umisateif al Reishay Ka'avela. Al-Barate, V'chi Sufei, and he was also embarrassed. Yeah. It appears that the Chafui Rosh, also this answers the question of the order, Avel V'chafui Rosh, this that his head was covered was not because he was ashamed to walk around the street with excrement dripping from his head. It's because in Ovel, they follow the laws of Avelus demand that you cover your head. Even though he's not Jewish, more a Haman, but in the convention of the time was, people who were in a state of mourning for a close relative would cover their head in as a sign of mourning. Like today, among the Goyim, black. You go to a funeral, you wear black. A person in a state of mourning in ancient times would cover their head with Chofui Rosh. So this Targum appears to be not like what we learned in the Medrash, that the Chofui Rosh, he was a shamed, he put his head down because he was filthy in Tsoya. That's not what it means. It means it was Chofui Rosh in the state of Avelos. And again, this now explains very well why the order is first Avel and then Chofui Rosh. He first entered into the state of Avelos and then he fulfilled, he began to act as an Ovel does by doing the necessary laws of Avelos. Okay, so it says over here, Atev al Reshe Ka'aveilo al Birate Vichis Sufe, and he was in a state of embarrassment.
Yeah.
Okay, now, okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel Vayisaper Haman Lezeresh Ishto L'chol Ohavav Eskol Asher Korahu. He related to his wife. First here, notice here his wife is first, and then comes his Ohavav. We mentioned before that when he asked advice what to do, it was the other way around. So we explained the reason why, the simple reason why here it says first his wife and then his Ohavav is because he wanted sympathy. And a wife, the role of a wife is to provide sympathy. So when it was... What? What do you say?
Which side?
What do you say?
To which side?
To which side? Sympathy to the enemy. To the other. I thought you said which wife. Okay.
Why is it in reverse?
Okay, so simple answer again. Simple is because previously when Haman came, he was furious. He was furious that this man, Mordechai HaYehudi, refused to bow down to him. He came home, he called for his advisors and his wife, what should we do with this man? He knew that his wife and women have sympathy. So Haman wanted to actually do something harsh. He knew if he calls his wife will say, big deal, he didn't bow down to you. What, are you going to go kill a poor fellow? The guy's a pauper. The guy is sitting in the street, he's a Nebuch. You're going to go kill him because he doesn't bow down to you? That's not what Haman wanted to hear. He didn't want to hear. Women have a tendency to be sympathetic towards the weak and the feeble and the vulnerable. He didn't want to hear that. He wanted blood. So therefore he called L'chol Oyhavav to get a more harsh approach. But here when he was on the receiving end, he was on the chopping board. He's the one now that needed some sympathy. So therefore now he calls first his wife to come and give him the chama. Okay, Zeres Isha L'chol Oyhavav, all of his Oyhavav, Eis Kol Asher Korohu, to relate all of the events that have befallen him.
The last time it was Chachamav.
No. Here it says Chachamav. There it also says Oyhavav. Here it's going to say in the next pasuk. It says they're going to tell him next words. Right. There also it said Oyhavav. There it also said Oyhavav. Now suddenly the Oyhavav are going to turn into the Chachamav. Because when you see that... Why they're the same? That is seemingly they're the same. Maybe you'll suggest they're different. Seemingly they're the same. But the reason why they change is because when they saw that things are not going his way, and he is in a lot of trouble, all of a sudden we're not your friends anymore. Guilt by association. It's so true. That's the real test. The real test. You have friends, and then when Rachman Litzlan, something bad happens, then you know who your real friends are. Who are your Oyhavav? So here, all of a sudden, the point of here is he had no Oyhavav. He had nothing, Haman. Everyone just attached themselves to him because there was something for them to gain. They loved themselves. And now that he was in a very bad state, all of a sudden, they're no longer Oyhavav, they are Chachamav. I think one of the best things I heard that Bush W said, President Bush W said, I told this to you a few times, that now in life it's impossible for him to acquire new friends. The only friends that he has are his childhood friends. For one simple reason, he's in a position of power and prestige and honor. Anyone that gets close to him, it's because they want something. And even if they don't want something, they're suspect of wanting something. So it's impossible for him to acquire new friends. People have a need. Look, Facebook, Twitter, People have a need for this. Look, that's the way that we live. You see how successful social media is. People have a thirst to have friends, chaverim. And when you get to a point where you're the top of the world, you have no friends. Anyone that comes close to you, it's because they want something. They want the covet of being associated with you. They want a job. They want money. They want this. They want that. So who are your friends? The friends are the people that you were close with when you were not in a state of prestige, when you were just an ordinary person. So those are your only friends. So here also, the only reason why they were friends was because they wanted something from Haman. Haman had nothing, had no true value, had no true self. And therefore, everyone, you know, like on Facebook, they disliked him. Did they start the dislike button? That was a very big controversy in Facebook. They have a like, and you can, you know, in Facebook how it works, if you like something, you click like. And if you don't like it, so you just unlike it. So you know it's neutral. So they were debating for years. I don't think they did it. And they did it yet. Should they have a button called a dislike button? A dislike. They still
do that. They have unfriend.
So that takes it off. That just makes you neutral. That just makes, until now I was your friend, and now I'm just a parav. I'm like what was before. But adke de kach, to have a button where you can show the world, I lahachas dislike. It's amazing. You know, dealing with the whole world here. We're dealing over here with the ganze Welt, and Facebook would implement such a policy. It's mind-boggling. You really change the whole attitude of society, of how you relate to people. And traditionally, it's like I said, you have friends, and then everyone is parif. How many? You have to be a really crude person to go out of your way to tell the world, you're not my friend, you're not my friend. And technology has now made this possible. And now, I don't know if they did it yet, but there was many articles, I read this all the time, they keep on debating, should they have the dislike button? There's the like button, everyone knows the like. A dislike, lahachis, to go show you don't like people.
Well, we're going to have an eliminate button.
What? It's not a joke. But over here, the Oyavov now turn into his Chachomov. Okay, let's go further. Okay, so they tell him the Zeresh, Chachomov is Zeresh Ishtoi. Notice they switch. The wife didn't know what to say here. The wife was... What?
The Chachomov and the Oyav have to be the same group.
It seems on a very simple level, it seems they were. Because it says in the same sentence, first it says, okay, you can suggest, I'm probably the Ramafarshan that say, no, it was a different group. Maybe it's Oyavav did not know what to say, maybe his wife did not know what to say, but now we have a new group, seemingly they're the same, and we have a very powerful limud musa that the Oyavav turned into Chachamav when things were not going his way. Okay, so what do they say? It's a very long pasuk. It's a massively long pasuk. If this individual is from the Zera of the Hayehudim. Now, of course, what do you mean? Everyone knew he was from Zera. Everyone knew he was Jewish. What's the big deal? It meant from Shevet Yehuda. Because Shevet Yehuda, they had a tradition that Amalek will fall. Everyone knew this legacy that Amalek will fall by Mashiach. Then
you just say "im" doesn't always mean "if" like that. It means since.
Since, okay, past case, another approach. "Im" is since he is Mizrah Hayehudim.
Means that a lot of times.
Then you're done. You're a done man then. But that means it's a definite. There's nothing to talk about. You're a dead man. They told him, we have bad news to tell you, this is what's going, it means this is how it's going to be. But if you want to translate "im" to mean "if," meaning maybe there's hope yet, we're trying to give you some hope, the only he's Jewish, but are you sure that Mordechai is a descendant of Shevet Yehuda? There's an emphasis on the word Yehudi, means a general term for all Jews. That's a given. Every Jew is called a Yehudi. But the word Yehudi very precisely means Shevet Yehuda. Maybe you'll get lucky, he's a descendant from Shevet Binyamin, which he was, Ishimini, but he was also, he had both. Mordechai had the Yichus of both. He had the Yichus of Yehuda and Binyamin. He had the Yichus of both. But if he does come from Shevet Yehuda, then you're a dead man. Because then there is a legacy that Amalek, you who are 20 generations descended from Amalek, there's a legacy that Malchus based David will finish off the job that Shaul did not. Shaul tried to. Shaul was originally one given the koyach to destroy Amalek. He failed, and therefore, who succeeded Shaul? David from Malchus Yehuda. So David's going to finish off what Shaul. If you're descended from Shaul, then maybe you'll survive. Because just like Shaul did not finish off Amalek, he led Agag live. He doesn't have the koyach. The koyach of Shaul did not in the past carry forth the ability to overcome Amalek. So maybe there's hope for you also. But if he's Mizera HaYehudim, the David, and now you're on your way down, that means Mashiach's coming. Mashiach is coming. Mashiach's on its way. You're finished. You don't have a chance. And that's one. Some say Pumtaker. Some say that Adarabba. Now Mordechai, who is a descendant of Shaul, is going to be Misakein, is going to rectify the chait, the shortcoming of Shaul. Shaul failed to kill Agag, to wipe out Amalek, but this man, Mizrah Yehudi, Mordechai HaYehudi, he's going to finish off what was, that's his tafkid, to finish off the unfinished business. So in Mizrah Yehudi, Mordechai Asher HaChilos, which you have begun, Limpol Lefanav, Lo Such, you will be unable to overcome him. You will certainly fall before him.
But there was no mention about the Gezerah against the Jews in general, just the one-on-one.
Seemingly, yeah.
He's doing it.
Yeah, well, maybe it means more. Maybe it means you and what you represent. Lo suchalo, you and what you represent will not be able to overcome what Mordechai represents. These are the two players. These are the two players in the world scene, and they're at each other. Okay, now let's really hear.
It's a double four.
Okay, so we're going to discuss that. Okay, why? Nafaltipol doubly means it's certain, with certainty. It's a guarantee. It's a certainty you're going to fall. Now there are other we'll discuss that. There are some of the commentators say Kinafalti Paul Lifonov is not a statement, it is advice. We advise you Kinafalti Paul Lifonov to humble yourself before him. Before you go to the party, go to Mordechai, ask him for forgiveness. Tell him you made a mistake, that you were going to the Gezerah on Jewish people. Humble, things are not going well. Hashem has given you Haman assignment, Hashemayim. Look, the tables are turned. You want to survive? You want to live? Ki nafal, you nafal tipal lefanav. You, Haman, should go to Mordechai and humble. And why? Because the Jewish, also right, humble means they would fall down, nafal tipal, bow down before him and humble yourself. And also do everything. The Jewish people, I think the name of the Targum, remember the Targum, Joshim say, the Jewish people, they're maver al midosaf. They're humble people. They're very willing to forgive. If you'll humble yourself before him, you'll ask Mechil from Mordechai, they'll forgive you. And they'll advocate on your behalf before Achashverosh that anything that goes wrong for you, Haman, everything should go your way. And the proof is, look at Shaul. Shaul did not kill Agag. Shaul had Rachmonis on Agag. So you see there's a precedent for the Jewish people to have Rachmonis. That was a mistake, of course. But you see, still the fact is, you do see that the Jewish people are Rachmonim. And if only you, Haman, will humble yourself before Mordechai, there is still hope for you. So it was a matter of a request, what you should do. Okay, another thing before we see the Tarash and Targum, there's another interesting diuk, and why it says the word, the first time it says, Nafol Limpol Lefanov, the word Limpol is spelled Chaser Vav. You're missing a Vav. And the second time it says, Kinafolti Pol Lefanov, it's Mole. See, the first time, Imi Zerahid Mordechai Asher, which Hachilos Yav begun, Limpol Lefanov to fall before him. The Vav is missing. The Vav is missing. Well, the Sharish is Nun. It's not part of the Sharish. It's not part of the Sharish. You don't need Limpol, Nun Pe Lamed, the fall. You don't need. You don't need the Vav, Limpol. But then when it says Lo Suchla Ki Nafaltipol Lefanav, then when it says the word Nafaltipol twice, Nafaltipol both times, it's spelled Mole. It's spelled Mole with a Vav. So what is this? So it's still a very simple answer is that if you've begun to fall even slightly, when it's lacking a vav, it has a connotation of a ma'at. It's choser. Means even if hachilosa, you've begun in the limpol lefonav, you've begun to fall before him, even a small teeny mashu. What has happened to you, Homo? Nothing really. You happen to be in the wrong place in the wrong time. Ahasuerus said, oh, you're here, good, so you go take Mordechai and go and bring him on the horse and the clothing. Big deal. The whole thing was over very quickly. The whole thing took a couple of minutes. But it's a teeny microscopic degree of falling. It's nefilah that is choser. It's lacking the vav. When a word is lacking all the vowels, all the letters, has a connotation. It's a very small amount. It's a very small. But yet, we're giving you good advice. Even a microscopic degree of falling is an indication that you're finished. You're dead. Kina faulty pole the fun of mole. Mole twice. Mole, not faulty pole twice with the vav. Twice with the vav.
Not regular advice, though. We strongly advise.
We strongly advise that also. Otherwise, if you're not going to fall before him, it's going to end up meaning kina faulty pole the fun of. You will certainly fall before him as far as you can possibly fall. Mole vav, two vavs. Okay, that's al derech pshat.
Even they understood it.
Of course, they understood it. In fact, the Midrash of the Medrash says they advised him to run away. They advised him, I told you the faulty father, you should humble yourself. If you don't want to go away, you can't bring yourself to knock on his door and say, I'm sorry, and say, please forgive me for what I've done. Then the next best thing is, get your passport and get out of the country. Because there's no way, because you're finished. You're finished. Things are not going your way. The only chance you have is to run away. Where is he going to run away? Well, in ancient times, probably he can run away somewhere. Even though he controlled the entire world. It wasn't like today where they have passport control and they have scanners and they have facial recognition and they're monitoring. What?
You don't have a
Minneapolis,
they'll never find it. No? You'll freeze to
that. Okay, you go somewhere.
You'll freeze to that.
You go somewhere and they will find you. Okay, Kina Faulty Paul, okay, so that this is. Okay, Kina Faulty Paul, okay, that's. Okay, then it's more of a drush. A drush, I don't know if you can like this drush, but it's a little more Kabbalistic. Hashem made for Kayin, I don't remember the Pesukim, you remind me of the Pesukim, Vayosma Hashem leKayin Ois. Hashem made Levilti HaKoyis HaSokol Motso. Hashem put an oath on Kayin that after Kayin killed Hevel, he did Shuva, the animals wanted to devour him. It was a wild world. It was like the Bronx Zoo without any gates. It was a dangerous world out there. And all the animals, the Tsuras Adam, there was no Pachad for men. Once Kayin did that, there he murdered. So he was dangerous. So Hashem put an oath on the forehead of Kayin that the animals should not kill him. What letter did Hashem put on his sign? Okay, that's one medrash. Another medrash. Tov. He said Tov. Tov is MS. That's what you have in Yeshaya. In Yeshaya, the simon to put a Tov. But another medrash, Vav. The Ois Vav. What's the Ois Vav? I don't know. I mean, it means it's associated with life. What? What?
It was an Oisvav.
The Oisvav, I don't know why, but the Oisvav represents the concept of life. And that's why, where did he live? He lived the Eretz, go live in the land of Nod. Nod. That was before he was driven out of the land of Nod, that's Nod, Nun Dalu, without a Vav. And after he got the Os, he called himself Nod Vinod. No, Vinod, the early guy, he got the Vav. So now that he got the Vav, it means he can live in Nod, he can stay alive, because he has the Vav. And this old Drush, whatever it means, he got the letter Vav. So some want to suggest that's exactly what it means over here also. They want to take that Medrash, where it plays with the Vavs, of Hashem put an Os on Kayin, and he'll live. And you'll live in Nud, and you'll be a Nod Vinod, you'll get a Vav, you'll survive. You'll be a Nud, a Nudnik. Ay, ay, ay. What a curse. So here it says here. It says over here, Mordechai Asher Hachilosa Limpol Lifonov, if you've begun to fall before him without the Vav. In other words, if right now you're subject to humiliation, but it doesn't affect your life, there's no Vav. In other words, you've fallen before him. Big deal. So what did you do already? You paraded him through the street. You put on some clothing. You took him on a horse. Big deal. Does that really affect your life? If you're a person, people suffer much more than this. You can survive this. You can get through this. You take him on the horse. You go through the streets. You make a few announcements. It doesn't affect your life. What?
You'll get over it.
So it's a nefila that's lacking of off, meaning the nefila does not affect your life. People in life, they have difficulties, but the difficulties do not necessarily affect their daily routine, their daily life. But this week, we who are your chachomah, your wise men, we are the wisest and the brightest of your people, and we can tell you that this is a siman min hashamayim. This nefila is a siman ki nafal tipol lefanav mole with the vav. It's going to end with your death, with the vav, because vav means life. So the nefila is going to include the vav, meaning the nefila is going to go all the way down until you die. So it's a similar idea, but instead of darshing hapshat mole v'chaser, small nefila, big nefila, when you add the vav represents life, and you put that into the equation, it means the same idea. The nefila doesn't affect your life, but it's a sign in Hashemayim that the end of this game is going to be, you will be finished. Okay, there's another critical drasha here in Pasuk Yud-Bez, which I got to mention. Vayisaper Haman, this is a very powerful limud hamusar, and I'm sure psychologists can develop this to a very great degree. After all of the event that he saw here, an incredible hashkacha pratis. He came in the middle of the night. And what are the chances? What are the chances that in the middle of the night, Achashverosh is not going to be able to sleep and is going to call them to read from the Sefer HaZichronos and happen to read about what happened to Mordechai and what honor, and that Haman shows up? The whole thing is just off the charts. You can win the Powerball lottery. There's more of a chance of winning the lottery than this thing happening. Right? That's really what it's all about. That's what the whole Megillah is all about. The Hashgacha Pratis. What are the chances of such a thing happening? So, you got to be totally out of your mind not to see the Hashgacha Pratis. You got to be out of your mind. He comes and what does he say? Eis kol asher korahu. It was just a chance event. He's in denial. Total, pure, total denial. Everything. What is the essence of Amalek? Asher korcha baderech. The essence of Amalek is everything that happens in life is nothing more than a coincidence. There is no hashkacha pratis. Here, after Haman witnessed the greatest hashkacha pratis imaginable, what does it say? Asher korcha. He goes over and he says, it's just a chance. It's not going to change the big picture. I'm going to win. I'm going to get rid of. I'm going to still go to the king today. I'm going to get rid of Haman. I'm still planning to hang him up, Mordechai, and I'm going to still wipe out the Jewish people. What happened today? It's not a simon. It's not a simon hashemayim. It's a mikra. It's a mikra. Asher korohu, spelled with a hey, not with an aleph. It's no big deal. He is in a state of denial. And this is the derech of Rishahim. And many times he sees by politicians. You can show them over and over and over again that you're wrong. No. I still know what I'm doing. I'm still going to continue this policy. I know there's no Yad Hashem, there's no Hashkacha. It's just a mikra. It's a very powerful pasuk. This pasuk, you can read this in the news, in the current events, every single day. I can tell you the miracles that happened to me. And how do I describe the miracles that happened to me? It's a mikra. This is really the whole story of Purim hangs on. The whole story of Purim hangs on. This is Haman by Yisapar HaMesher Korahu. And we read the Megillah and we tell over what happened also Asher Korahu, but with an Aleph. It was a calling from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a divine orchestration of events for all of these things to fall into place for the miracles to happen. The central theme in what the Megillah, the difference between the Goyim and us and how you look at an event. Okay, now let's see the Rashi and the Targum. Rashi Pasuk Yigimel says, Asher hachilo salim pa lefanav, you have begun to fall. So what was his words? Says the words of the wise man were Amra. They said as follows: this nation, Klal Yisrael, they compared to the st- stars and to the dust, which means kishahem yardim yardim al afar. When they fall, they go all the way down. Kishahem oilim oilim al rakia, they go all the way up the rakia ve'ad hakachavim until the kachavim. There's no in between. My Rebbe used to always say, there's no such thing as a par of a yid.
Little girl with a little curl.
What?
When she was good, she was very, very,
very
good.
When
she was bad, she was horrid.
She was what?
Horrible.
Horrid. Okay. So this is the Yisod. There's no such thing as a parvayid. You can't be in them. You're always going in one direction. You're always going. That's the derech. Like that's the someone interpret. That's why when it comes to tzitzis, it says tzitz is doimel yam, a yam is doimel rakia, and rakia is doimel kisya kavod. Just cut to the chase. The tzitzis is doimel to the kisya kavod. Teretz is this, you're always moving. The reason why it's written in this form is to tell you. You're always moving. You're always moving in one direction. There's no such thing as standing still. If you try to stand still, you automatically descend. Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban says, what is the chiluk between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Liaretz? The Ramban is a very specific Ramban. I don't know where we are. I forgot where it is. Maybe Parashasam. I don't remember where it is. But the Ramban says, in Eretz Yisrael, the Mido Keneged Mido is accelerated. Hashem is everywhere. And the midas of Kadosh Baruch Hu are the same. In Chutz Liaretz, when a person does a mitzvah, it can take, I'm just making up numbers, it can take 6 months until you're able to see that Hashem has reciprocated. Hashem has rewarded you, has given you mitzvah, goyreres mitzvah. If you do an avera, it can take a year to finally appreciate, you know, it wasn't kedai to do that avera. That avera triggered a whole sequence of events for me in my life where it's not good. In Eretz Yisrael, it's the same midah keneged midah, the same hashkacha. The only thing is it's accelerated. What takes in America 6 months, in Eretz Yisrael takes 1 month. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond to your mitzvahs. Mitzvah gredes mitzvah, avera gredes avera. In Eretz Yisrael, in a much, much faster time frame. And therefore, when you're living in Eretz Yisrael, you right away see things. You right away see things are happening. And therefore, that explains why in Eretz Yisrael, the Metzias is, it's a land of extremes. It's a land of, in Chutz Liaretz, a lot of Gedol. My Meshav Yaakov Kamenetsky was very, you have to go back, it was like 30, 40, 50 years ago, he was not happy with Talmidim going, making Aliyah. He says, you know, it's not so simple. You're an American in America, it's a slow motion pace. You're accustomed to it, the yeshivas that you're used to. You go to Eretz Yisrael, you gotta be ready. It's a land of extremes. Not everyone is cut out to start to live in Eretz Yisrael, where, as a religious Jew, where it's a land of extremes. You see in Eretz Yisrael, you either the Haredim are all the way to the right, okay, they're having a smartphone, my Haredim, it's mamish, Yehorig Val Yavar. And Rachman Litzlon, we know that the Chilonim, there's no way to be a Chiloni like in Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately. Yeah. That's a fact. And I'm not trying to, you know, we're not hiding anything. This is a fact. It's a land of it. Why? Because of the Hashkocha Pratis is accelerated.
If I had a guess, I would say about the Mars, about the Kiyar, it's a Shabbat at the end of our framework.
That's what the Ramban says it. So here, dealing with what Rashi Abir is saying. Rashi Abir is saying is...
I'm sorry, but...
The end of Achrimos.
The end of Achrimos.
Oh, okay.
So here Rashi is touching upon that Yisod, that Klal Yisrael are a nation of extremes. Klal Yisrael, when they're living, you're either going all the way to the Kachavim or you're going all the way down to the bottom. Therefore, if you're going now, if Mordechai now is on the way up, Mordechai is going to go to the very top. And Kishazeh Kam Zeh Neufel. That's the Messiah. The two are always going to be opposite extremes. Therefore, he tells them, watch out. Therefore, watch out. You are in for a ride. Now, let's take a look at the Targum. It's a very long. There is a long Targum here. The Ishtoe Haman Lazeresh Intise Ulachol Rikhimo. Haman's related. He spoke to Lazeres, his wife, and all of his friends, his Oyavav. Yoskoldi Ra, everything which happened. The Amarule Chakimoi, so we're changing from the Rikhimoi to the Chakimoi, to his wise ones. The Zeresh into saying Zeresh, as well as the order was changed there also. Zeresh now became the second one to respond. The first ones to respond were the Chachamav, and Zeresh responded later. I don't know why. In Nizara Ditsa, now here is where the Targum embellishes, Nizara Ditsa Dikaya. He translates the word Imizera HaYehudim. It's a very unique translation. Yeah. Is he trying to translate, or is he just trying to embellish? Of the righteous. The Yehudim means, okay, Yehudi, maybe Yehudi means Yemoida, Hoida. You give Hoida to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which touches upon the essence of a tzaddik. Mordechai Dishrisa, which
it's basically because he went into great lengths early on to explain Mordechai's lineage. You know, Mordechai ben Yoyev ben Shimi ben Kishi Shimini, he did it 20 generations in the time. So that he wasn't from Zerah Yehudim, B'Shevet Yehuda.
L'Shitasai, Binyamin. So L'Shitasai, Yehudi has to, according to the Targum L'Shitasai, that he was from Yehudi, from Binyamin. Yehudi means near, he's a tzaddik. He's a tzaddik. A tzaddik is one that gives choydah. Haida means he admits that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam, and he denies that there is an Avodah Zara. So he's translating here, this is very good, L'Shitasa, he has to hear me, L'Tzadikai, not from Shevet Yehuda, Mordechai Deshrisa, which you have begun, L'Nipal Kodomoi, so Heichma, just like the Nifalu here, he now describes the history, Jewish history. They take out the history books, just like we find the Heichma, just like we find Hechma, just like the Naflu Malchaya kings, the great kings fell. Kodam Avraham, the Meshar Chaklaya, in the valley, of the smooth valley, that's I guess the four kings and the five kings, all nine of them ultimately fell before Tisha Miyodea. How come we don't say Tisha Miyadeah, the nine kings, the Tulei Tol of the nine kings, which fell before?
Actually, Avram went in defense of the four.
No.
But they also
five.
The four defeated the five.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Avraham went to war against the four, because the four captured light. So Avraham, ultimately, he swallowed up nine, because the four already swallowed five, and now Avraham swallowed up the four. So
he actually came in defense of the five, because the light was...
It was really the defense of the five? Like what Reagan would say, Iran and Iraq. We wish you luck, we wish you Mazel, we wish you Mazel in the Iran-Iraq war. Reagan, famous Reagan, we wish him both the best of luck. So the four and the five, they were both.
It says the shame can't be two losers.
No, what?
Just me, it says it's a shame that somebody's going to win.
It can't be two losers.
Okay, let's see. So here, the Malcha B'Meshar Chaklaya. Chaklaya means what? Smooth. The plain field. Avimelech Kodam Yitzchak. Avimelech ultimately he came to make a treaty. They dug the wells, the three wells, they stuffed up the wells, they redug the wells, and ultimately he made a treaty with them. The Yaakov Notzach Malocha. And Yaakov, he prevailed over the Malach, the Sar Shel Esav. That was the major battle of Yaakov Avinu. The Al Yido de Moshe the Aaron Tovu Paro, and through Moshe the Aaron, the hands of Paro v'chol Mishiryos, all the servants beyama the Suvin Yamsov v'chol Malchaya v'Shultonaya the Av Ishu Lohoin. That all of the kings and leaders that were delivered to them. Nisarias Hon Eli, I guess that's the 31 kings. That's the 31 kings when they conquered Eretz Yisrael. Nisarias Hon Elo Kohoin Bidehon, that were delivered to them, their God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave over into their hands. So therefore, he went to Jewish history. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. It's fascinating to see how he describes.
And Moshe.
And Klal Yisrael, seemingly, I guess, the 31 kings when they came into Eretz Yisrael. V'af'an, so therefore, what's the punchline? You're also a dead man. You're also finished. V'af'an, so to you, lo sechule av oshale, you will not be able to overcome. Arum, instead, mipal tipol kodomo, you will fall before Mordechai. Okay, pasuk yudalit, odam medabrim imo, while they were still speaking, v'sarisei ha'melech, they have arrived, v'yafhilu, they were quick, by Loshna Bahala, in a state of bewilderment, they're rushing to bring Haman to the party which Esther prepared on their behalf. Rashi, there is none. You run the Targum Pasuk Gedal Oid Kaan Idun Memal while they were speaking. Imei the Rabbonei Malka, the leaders of the king Mitu, they arrived. The Uchul, they were quick. Bahu means quick. Lehan Allah to bring Yos Haman Lemishtaya da Avodas Esther, which Esther prepared. Okay, there are a couple of Midrash that will hurry to bring more Haman to the party. The Midrashim explained this is critical. This command that he be brought quickly, in fact, according to the Medrash, was by Esther's command. There was no emergency. He could have taken his time, taken a shower, gotten into some new clothing, and could have thought about the advice. Because according to the Medrash, the advice they gave him two sets of advice. Either humble yourself to Mordechai, ask him chila, be good with him, and that will soften things out, because the Jewish people, they're very willing to forgive and forget. And the precedent we find is with even Shaul, he did not kill Agag. And if you don't want to do that, the next best thing is to run away. According to the Medrash, he would have done one of those two things. He would have come to his senses, he would have done one of those two things, and the story of Purim, the miracle of Purim, would not have come about. Esther was clever enough to realize what was going on. Maybe she had some intelligence service eavesdrop on what was going on in this room, and she quickly dispatched her servants to bring him in haste, just to grab him before he has time to think through what's happening, so that the plan can come to fruition and he will be eliminated from the scene. Okay, let's just begin very quickly. We have a few more minutes. Pass the next parak zayin. Vayavo hamelch haman l'shtos im Esther hamalka. The melch haman, they come to drink with Esther hamalka. The mefarshim take note that here it says im. In the previous party number one, it did not say the word im. Why? Simply because now this party, this she was no longer fasting. The fast was, that is a bit problematic, because according to the Targum, the previous pasuk, we mentioned that Mordechai, after this thing which took place early in the morning, he fasted ad l'ramsha, until the evening. So that can mean one of two things. Again, we had this discussion many times, exactly what calendar day was this? Was the three-day fast 14, 15, 16? Was it 15, 16, 17? Was it, what was the date? Was it the second day Yom Tov? Was it the first day Yom Tov? Okay, so there are many variables. Okay, it's not exactly clear, but here, to add to the equation, there appears to be another contradiction to add to this equation, 14, 15, 16, 15, 16, 17. Was it the third day of the fast? Was it the day after the 3 days of fasting? But Esther was not fasting. Esther, it says, Lishtois in Esther Hamalka, the symbol. She broke a fast. So that's the question. The question was this day four? Or was this day three? And she was granted a dispensation because she needed to entertain, so therefore she was allowed to eat. And therefore, or maybe this was really day four, and the pasuk is revealing to us the greatness of Mordechai, that Mordechai was fasting 4 days. The fast already was over. Esther is eating, so it's already past the three-day fast. The third day was the day when she invited them to come l'mochar, to the next day, to the party the next day. That was day three, so this is day four. And the Targum, what?
Maybe it was in the evening event.
It was in the evening. You mean, but l'mocha come the next day. The next day was. But what's the vayashilu? Possibly, maybe, I don't know. Possibly. Possibly. That could be. But if you want to learn on a very similar level, it appears Mordechai is fasting and Esther is eating. It's the fourth day. That enhances the greatness of Mordechai. Mordechai, the whole Klal Yisrael fasted 3 days. He's fasting now another day. He's fasting the fourth day. Okay. They come to drink. There is no rash. Let's see the Targum. The Al Malka, they entered. The king entered. The Haman Lemishtay to drink in Esther Malka, Malkasa. Next pass. Pasuk Beis. Vayyom America. We'll just do a brief pass. I'll just say one of them. We'll stop because it's already a little Shosh Chodesh. We have 2 minutes. Vayyavo HaMelech V'Haman, Pasuk Beis. Vayyom HaMelech Le'Esther Gam Vayyom HaSheni. On the second day, meaning the second day of the party, the Mishtay Hayayin. Ma Shel Sech Esther Malka V'Sinos Eloch Uma Bakosho Sech Ad Chatzi HaMalchus V'Seyos. Okay, in fact, it is a fascinating, fascinating targum. Maybe we'll see. But first, one thing is interesting is here he calls her by her name. Esther Hamalka. That's not necessary. He's talking to her. He's talking there. Bayer Melech Le'Esther Malach. Bayer Moshe. The pasuk should read, "Bayer Ma'ashe La'Seich Vinos V'Sinasin Lach." There's no need for the pasuk to say Esther Hamalka. So the answer given by the commentators that saw here in the back is it's an expression of endearment. Yes. This does not appear though in the first party.
It
Where is the first party?
The first time he
doesn't when he speaks to her. Look when he speaks to her. Where is the pasuk? What pasuk are you reading from? What pasuk? What pasuk are you reading from?
Perikei pasuk vav.
Vayomer hamelch liester ben meshayin. Look, ma sheilo sech v'inasin lachu ma bakosha sech arkatim alchus. Here it's a double. In the quote, ma sheilo sech, he mentions her name. So my high, this inconsistency. No, the Megillah is extremely accurate. So the answer is her stocks went up. In between yesterday and today, the plan was working. He intrigued her. Right, in romance, it always involves intrigue. The more you one step forward, or two steps forward, one step backwards. You try to. There are mind games being played over here. Come to one party, come to another party. Invite. Haman, the first party. Who was the guest by the first party? The guest was the Melech. The second party, you equal with Haman. It's not a party in honor of the king. It's a party in honor of the king and Haman. They were equals, equal honorees at this party. There's a lot of intrigue. There are a lot of mind games going on over here. This is really a fascinating source material to do a doctorate on how to play with someone's mind. But it's working. It's working because here he is engaged. He has caught, he has taken the bait. And he has shown her a very great degree of endearment by now upping the expression with Esther Hamalka. You don't call a person by their name in the conversation unless you really like the person. So he's getting close to her. That's more of a chance that he will agree to her request. Okay, let's see the Targum. The Targum is so fascinating, we can't leave without the Targum. What it says over here in Pasuk Beis, Pasuk says, V'amar Malkul Esther, uff, also, B'yoma Tin Yonah, on the second, Bin Mishtaya, the Chamra, on the party of wine, Ma'ashel Osech Esther Malkasa, V'yis Yehiv Lich. It will be given, and what do you like? Man, the short, the small request is the she'ela, and the large one is a small request. A she'ela is a small request, and a bakash a large request. Afilu ma bo'usich afilu ad palgus malchusa et nina lich will be granted to you. As we mentioned before, there's one thing that's off limits. L'chod l'mivne beis mukdeshah. The Kohi, which stands bepalgus techum malchusi, that stands in geographically in the center of my control over the world. Lo etelech, why not? I already made a promise to the governors of Yerushalayim, because lech dehechdein, because this request, this kaimis, already has been established bishvua through an oath to three people. The three leaders of Yerushalayim, the three secular leaders who my appointees is, the commission. Yes. Who was Geshem, number one. Number two, his name was Tovia. And the third person's name was Vesanbalat. Biram Barat. Now here's what's shocking. Here's what a shocking thing he says. Esther, I'll tell you something. I sense you really want the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, you could have that. But just wait until I die. Just wait until I die, and your son, Daryovesh, takes over. And certainly your son will do what you want. Biram Orichi, wait. Just wait. Add until the Arbe Daryovesh Birich, Daryovesh, your son or my son, actually your son or my son, our son. What?
It not be our son,
Berich. What? Berich means a son.
A son.
What?
When is Yarbe?
He'll grow up.
Grow up. He'll become great.
He'll become the king.
Yarbe means he'll become great in age. That means he already was born? I remember we had the discussion. Yeah. Was Daryovish already born at this point in time? Pasha says, yeah. They were already 5 years. Right, so very likely at this point that he already was born. So wait until it becomes the Arbi Daryovish Berich, our son, the Yachsein, and he will inherit Malchusa, the Malchus, the Sis Azeh, and he'll do it. So basically he says, Ad Chatzi, right now I can't give you the Malchus. Because I personally am bound by a Shavua I took to Geshem, Tovia, and Sanbalat. But my son, our son, is not bound to this oath. He's a free thinker. He's from a new generation. He can do whatever he wants. So just wait. Okay, so just wait until he takes over the Malchus. This is a shocking thing. Okay, if you don't, and perhaps this is alluded to in the extra. Where is the Targum getting this? Targum L'chora, I mean, it's Ruach HaKodesh, but L'chora, there's always the nuances of the Pasuk where he has the right to say.
You're hanging on a word.
Maybe the word Esther. The fact that he now speaks to her with such endearment. And this in contrast, he didn't say this in the previous party. And the previous party said the same thing. Ad chatzi hamalchus v'sinosei loch. And there he said the targum was the same targum. I can't give you the baseline. This is in the middle of my malchus. I already promised, same word for word. I promised Geshem, Tovi, and Sanbalat that I already promised. And that was the end. Here, same word. But Dayavesh, our son, he'll do what you want to go do. What added expression is there in this pasuk? That alludes that loophole. Well, he says her name a second time. He says her name. That name is in a sense of endearment. You're my wife. We have children together. So we have children together. Let the child, let him make the decision. We have a disagreement. What?
He said, "Chatzi
Amalchus,"
but that already is given already.
That's so now between me and you, there's a disagreement. Our child, he'll take over. He'll make that decision. Okay, this is a very unbelievable idea. To be aware of the Targum as an incredible idea. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll take a very short